more up there in your team. Don't make low watch anybody. Just do your thing. Just let's see what you can pick from them. But comfortable trying things out yourself and making mistakes, because that's how you can find your rhythm, what works for you. And then once it works for you, you know, oh my, this is what works for me. This guy, what he's doing is cool, but this is what works for you.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Jackie Talks, right? Today we're going to talk about design workflow, you know, how you are going to speed your design workflow, how these two guys here, including myself, you know, work faster, right? But before we dive into that, Hinson, today you're on the stand-up, so you're going to tell us what you're working on, fan project, anything.
Okay, so I'm currently planning, it's in the planning phase, planning on restructuring the way I post on Instagram, because currently my feed is just like scattered all over. And I wanted to have like a theme, a visual style. So hopefully in the coming weeks, I'll get something done and also start shooting more videos for my Instagram page.
Okay.
Yeah. So mainly it's about my content creation journey.
All right. All right. No problemo. All right, so let's get into it. Design workflow. Now, I think, it's important that as a designer, you have certain measures in place that you can use to work faster. You know, sometimes people make jokes like, hey, Charlie, this guy, they design fast. Regan, when we are designing, you're like, ah, let's do this, the next thing is done and all that. And I think it doesn't seem like something so important, but it's very, because it can save you some time, right? Now, what are certain things you, in terms of tools, right, that help you kind of just speed your workflow? Now, we are not talking just about Figma. Maybe there are certain plugins, because ask me, they need the work. I see that there are things that you use that maybe I would have probably used like 5 steps to get it. You do one and then you're done. So what are some of those things, any tool, anything outside Figma that helps you kind of just speed your workflow?
Sam, you go start. All right. So, I mean, I'll start with normally where you are, like at a particular point in time. So if you are starting out, definitely there will be workflows that probably you are not used to or you've not done for a while. So it's very difficult to kind of have like a system in place because then you are trying to figure things out, right? So what I normally do is when I'm working for some time and I notice that I'm using maybe this particular style or I'm using this particular like design and I know there's a plugin for that, I'll definitely cop that plugin. Right. So for instance, I normally like, when I'm done, especially for presentation, I like some kind of like texture to my background or some kind of gradient to it, okay? And sometimes doing that from scratch,
a whole week,
you get. So if I see that, okay, I need this type of like presentation, I try and get plugins for that.
Okay.
So for instance, the UI challenge, like you said, when it comes to the presentation, that's small tweaks for the background, right? And sometimes even for the cards, the design.
Yes.
So those things, instead of starting from scratch, you know it's better if you have like
somebody has already done something
for
you.
So for starters, I feel like if you are starting out, you need to get used to your workflow, see what process you normally repeat or what style you normally repeat, then get a system in place. Then
Okay. Before Sam comes in, speaking on tools, right? I mean, apart from any design tool, is there anything else you use? Maybe a productivity tool. Right, that helps your design in terms of project or anything, maybe working with a client.
I think for me, it's still the old ways of doing things where my pen and paper.
Okay, so you're still old boy, old school.
Yeah, I feel it's better for me.
Okay.
Right, when you jot things down. And sometimes I use notes if I'm with my phone and I'm not with like, but normally I do everything on like pen and paper.
Yeah, there's a question about that, but I'll come back to that. Mr. Sam. Same question. Or you want me to repeat the question?
Yeah, please
repeat. What does your design flow look like when you have a project? How do you kind of speed your workflow? Do you go the long route about doing things? Or you have a system in place that helps you do things quick?
Yeah, I'm not sure about what the long route is. I just kind of... Yeah, I think it comes with time and practice, right? Because the more you do something, the more you figure out the faster way of doing that thing, right? And for me, I'm always on the lookout for things that will make my life easier, right? So for example, stuff like removing the background of an image.
Right.
A lot of people go with Photoshop. Me, I'm always on the lookout. So I just Google like background remover. Then there's this website I go to, remove.bg or something.
Yeah.
And I recently realized Mac has something inbuilt where you can just...
Really?
Yeah, you right-click and you can remove the background.
I've learned something.
Right. So I'm always on the lookout for anything that will make my life easier. So anything I want to do, I always search for it. If it's a plugin I want in Figma, I search for it. I get a list and I go find it and I try it out. If it's anything, right? So that's what I do. It comes with practice and also me always being on the lookout for anything that will make my life easier. So the more you practice,
the more you get. Yeah.
Because you first need to know the basics of how to do something.
Before then you can build systems.
Find ways to like streamline it and make it more efficient.
True. Right.
So
Now to the question I was asking him, where he said he still uses pen and paper. Do you have any tools outside Figma you use to kind of maybe document, kind of maybe when you get a project, you talk to a client from that point?
Yeah, I mean, Notion.
For everything?
Notion, and aside Figma, Framer. I work a lot in Framer these days, even more than Figma.
Hey.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. So, I mean, I think the two tools I use the most, Notion and Framer. If I'm to rank them, it'll probably be Notion, Framer, and Figma. Yeah, Notion, any random thoughts, I just put it there.
For organization.
And Framer, mainly because of the design junkies, because that's what we use for our website and everything. So I'm always there tweaking things. And Figma, yeah, I'm a 9-to-5, so I have to be in Figma.
You do a 9-to-5. Okay. Well. All right. So I think I have the same experience as Sam. I sometimes use pen and paper when my brain gets a lot, because I think, like you said, it's always that point is always nicer. You just kind of just bring the ideas out of your mind, put it on paper. I think 2-3 weeks ago, my brain was kind of like all over the place. So I was trying to document in Notion, but then, you know, that thing of trying to be perfect, have the right, this thing, I was like, nah. So I just started on pen and paper, put everything there, then I just moved that into Notion. So that's how me normally, I just go, speak to the clients, write whatever it is, and I move to Notion. When it comes to design itself, media, there are many things, like last time you were saying is, organize it. Like, I don't even joke with my Figma, right? Like, I've put things in place that if I want to do something, I'll just reduce myself. For example, in terms of file organization, and we'll speak about that. How I organize my files is, you take, let's say, a particular Figma. This is mainly design, right, you're talking about. You take a particular Figma file, I have, like, the cover, the asset side, I have the components, the wireframe side, then the UI itself, then mood board, blah, 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 blah. I've made this into a template. So if I want to create a new file, I'm not now come to create it again. So last time when we were speaking, I just know where that particular page as a template is, just duplicate it, create a new project, and then I'm good to go. This thing doesn't look like it's anything really. You know, most of the time the file also come with some color styles already inbuilt in them. So the file we are working in like this, you already have something.
Yeah.
So this thing will save you like a few seconds, but then it's worth it.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
That's like one way or one thing that I have done that helps me kind of just work faster. The other thing which I think Figma has helped a lot with is the asset library. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing people utilize it a lot. I mean, if maybe you have a design system, that's something where you can just publish the library and then in any file in your you can just use it. Are there any particular thing you as Hinson, a designer, maybe wherever you work, you've kind of a process or structure you put in place that if you want to do something, just save some few seconds and then just go with it?
Yeah, so we also have a library. So we did like, let me say, a mini design system. I don't want to use mini, but then it's more like a foundation, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have our color system sorted out. Okay. So with that, I have it published.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm creating a new project, I have those colors ready for me to use. Mm-hmm. And also we are trying to improve the consistency in our code base too as well.
Right.
Right. So that kind of helps me when I'm starting our new project, because then I know that whatever color I'm using is definitely in our design system, right? So that's, I think I make good use of assets in Figma and also with the organization, because the file organization.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the sole designer, I don't really, I mean, I have my way of doing things, but then I've not really collaborated with a designer on a particular project. Because also when it comes to my designs, I have Zeppelin. That's where the devs.
Okay.
So mainly the Figma file structure is mainly for me.
Yourself. Okay.
Right, so what I do is I have like a mood board section. I have a place where I do my explorations. Mm-hmm. And the last one would be where I present like the design itself. Mm-hmm. Okay. And maybe some components. But then that's mainly how I go about my organization. Because everything, because it's more about designers and devs,
yeah, yes,
everything is like in Zeppelin. Zeppelin does that for me pretty well.
Okay.
So when it comes to that, I have like a system in place. When I'm done designing, I just push it to Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. Zeppelin takes care of the rest.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. For me, I don't use Zeppelin. So I do everything in Figma. I just remember there's this particular project or where I work full time, right? I have a page called for developers and the one called design implementation. So for developers, that page is just for the developers to view. If you view any other page, you're causing yourself harm because that place will probably be messed up and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So that for developers page is just the screens that have been finalized for them to.
Yeah, true.
Then the design implementation part, what I do is if there are extra screens I think need extra explanations or notes or anything, I just add it to them. So maybe just do an arrow, just point, type extra things. And sometimes the stakeholders themselves just come in to just read those notes and say, okay, this is how this is going to work and all that. So that's what I do because I don't use Zeppelin. So it just makes it easier for them. So yeah. When a dev comes into the file, every other page there is unnecessary to them, right? And there was this thing I saw in Figma. You can link pages to a text, right? Mm-hmm. So on my cover page, you see the cover and there's something called like a table of contents, if I should put it. So I have maybe assets, I have components, and I have for there. So once you get to that page, any link you click will just take you directly to that page. Nice.
And also to touch on a bit on Zeppelin, right? I think one thing I like about Zeppelin is it's mainly designed for handoff. So whatever you think is like an issue in your handoff process, Zeppelin kind of takes it. So when it comes to documentation, making comments, they have this annotation feature where you can have just a screen, right? So let's say if on hover, probably you wanted to behave in a certain way or animation, you can make such comments. And when they come, they just filter it based on the annotation. So if they, you can even link APIs too.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So it's, like I said, it's mainly
for the design.
Design handoff. You can see your version history. You can, so it works like GitHub. Like
Okay.
When you push comments, you write a comment under your comment. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing with Zeppelin. When I push any screen, I add my comments.
Changed and everything.
Yeah, so then when a developer comes in there, every screen you see, that's like an updated version. If you want to see
old version,
you just click on your version history and you see the comments under it. So if I change, let's say, the button color or something, you see those things. And recently they released one feature where when you click on show difference, you just see some parts highlighted where it changed, like the part that changed. You just see it over there.
Actually, I'm having stress over.
So redlining, for instance, is not like a problem.
It's pretty simple.
Straightforward. Like it just does it like automatically for you. So like I said, it's mainly for handoffs, and also you get to link your. You can link it to your code base, like your design system. Mm-hmm. Let's say if you have Storybook, GitHub. You can even link to your Jira tickets, right? Where you have your screens linked to a particular Jira ticket. And whenever you update your status on your Jira ticket, it kind of updates on Zeppelin too. Mm-hmm. So for me, Zeppelin is my go-to when it comes to handoff.
I mean, this you explained this, I feel like, I have a long processing. But then, like Sam was saying, it all comes down to understanding how you work and then what works for you. Because I think, for what I did, even though from what you were saying, I realized, okay, this will probably maybe take a few things or a few steps away from what I do. But yeah, Alote, you I know you.
Yeah, you say anything like that.
Samuel Alote. Yeah, I mean, I know you do more of design system, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if maybe you'd like to speak on that part in terms of processes and all that.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, a lot of, I work on design stuff, like you said, and that's, I figured, I found that it speeds up my process a lot, and it saves me a lot of stress, like with handoff.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, when I join, or if I'm working on any project, and I realize they don't have like a design system in place, that's one of the first things I push for. And I communicate the value to the business or whoever is in charge that this is what it's on. Save them money, save them time in the long run. So yeah, we have a design system in place. Everything is one to one with what is available in code. It took some time for us to get there, but yeah, eventually we did. And that has sped up a lot of things on my part. Because one of the main things that even made me push for the design system was I realized every time I did a design. I had to always do QA, and there's a lot of back and forth with engineers, right? So you do the QA, okay, this doesn't matter, can you change this? They go change, they bring it back, and realize there's something else on a different screen
that
you already commented on. And it's inconsistent there. So I just told them to pause. Let's just work on a design system. So we worked on it, and now it's the same assets I have. I barely create any new assets. So anytime I create a new asset, we have a channel for design system. I communicate it to the dev who is in charge of that. And I tell them, this is why we need this component now. So you can go ahead and create like a component just for this use case. And so if I'm doing the QA, I know that I have to do the QA for this component, right? Instead of doing for every component. Yeah. Because I've already done the QA for all the components in the design system. Right. So it saves a lot of time. I recommend everybody to do that. Just create a design system. Make sure you do the QA with your dev. Like, that is key. Communication with devs is key. Right. You need to have constant communication with them. And make sure everything is one-to-one. Like, don't take anything for granted or don't look past anything. Right. To the extent that I even had to go to GitHub and read the code to make sure the values, stuff like the corner radius and everything was on point. I'm a designer, but you have to figure it out. Right. Because once you do that, you know, you're good to go. So I think last Friday I was waiting for a priority to create a project, start working on a project. The project seemed big, but I was able to finish like one of the first major flows in the project within like 2 hours, only because we already had existing components. The flows were there, the screens were there. So like it was templates. All right, so I just picked the templates. I know the flow I want to create. So I just picked the templates, the dashboard templates, picked the text forms, use the color styles, and that is it. I don't create anything new. And it makes us ship products faster. It makes the developers work easier because they already know. And there's very little bugs. So this time, instead of going through the visual QA, like doing visual QA, what you do is like figure out the flow. Is this flow, does it make sense? Is it what we designed? Does this move the person from this screen to this screen? And all that. So that's what I do. Even in a framer, create components.
I think that was something Hinson and I were talking about. Watching the video he was doing, I think most of the things you were building were like from scratch, and it looked as though you were building those to be components. So say you could just use them.
Once you do them in the components, you are good to go. So you make one change and flex across
everywhere.
Exactly. So that's what I do.
I have a question to Sam.
Good
question. He said like he's been working on design systems for quite some time now, and I'm sure you've developed like processes for it. Right? So I want to get your take on if you are a new team member, like a new designer, you join a team. What are some of the processes you put in place to make sure that if you are starting out a design system project, everything like runs smoothly? Because one thing I know is when it comes to design system, you need to be aligned with there's management, everyone needs to be on board. And also there needs to be like time dedicated for that too as well. So if you're in a team where maybe probably the focus is not on design system, right? Maybe they are working on other projects. How then do you communicate that and get systems in place such that, okay, now your stakeholders probably agree to it. How then do you go about your whole
implementation? That's a good question. And this is similar to what happened to me where I currently am now. So we have projects they're working on. Before you came, they already had things they were doing. Everybody has tasks assigned to them. So I had to make the case for it. And I just like made them pause to focus on that one. So I think it stems from, this is where like your soft skills as a designer comes in, right? Yeah, along with your technical skills, because they also play a role. But first of all, they need to trust you. They need to trust your judgments. Like they need to trust that you actually know what you are doing. You know the work. Because if they don't trust you, anything you say, they won't take it, right? And if you are not able to communicate your worth as a designer and the worth of design, they might just see it as visuals. So you'll be the guy that makes everything pretty.
Right.
When I went there, I already learned my lessons in previous experiences. That's why experience matters, right? So if you are not there, it's fine, right? Just take your time. You'll get there eventually. But experience matters, right? So when I got there, I tried to go with the process that they had, like just design it, let them build. And then I realized it was just causing too many issues. Like, we're spending weeks just doing QA. It didn't make sense to me. And me, I'm very vocal, right? Or at least in that team, I'm very vocal. Because I don't want any unnecessary stress that will affect everybody.
Yeah.
You might not like me, but media, I'll get the job done. But I made it known. I made it clear, like, consistently. I mean, obviously, it won't take what you're saying for the first time, but I made it very clear consistently. And because they already trusted my work, because I already shown them what I could do. Mm-hmm. The initial project I was working on, it was a redesign of a dashboard. So I redesigned and they knew what I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Even from the interview, they knew what I was capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the design junkies too helps, mm-hmm. personal brand. So they already knew, they already trusted my work. The CTO like trusted my work. So it was easier to get their buy-in.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, it took time. I said it consistently, but then they saw this was what the issues were. Because we were spending like weeks fixing issues. And the issues were the same thing that we kept mentioning over and over again. Then I had to make the case for it. This is why we need it. Mm-hmm. We needed to shorten and save us money instead of bringing developers to come and work on the same issue. Because it felt like we did not have a lot of manpower.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not what the case was. We had people who were very good, but just that, I don't know, human beings are human beings. Right? So instead of paying money to go bring someone in, having to pay that person, like you have to look at all these business cases. Again, soft skills are very important. You need to know who you're communicating with. Stakeholders understand different things. Engineers understand different things. Designers understand different things.
Right.
So if you're making a case to a stakeholder, you need to like communicate the business value of whatever it is you're proposing. Don't say a design system you need to have because it's a design system.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make sense. You need to communicate that it saves them time, saves them money. It cuts, like we'll be able to ship product faster.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I pushed for it. And then, yeah, I think earlier, was it last year or this year, sometime, yeah, they had to pause. I mean, we find the time that was suitable, but then they let the front-end developer pause on whatever he was doing. And then he assigned him to work on a design system. So I was working with him for like a few weeks. You know, I think, yeah, more than a month, 2 weeks. But then when we finished, everybody saw. Because then we had everything in the Figma here, in the code. So it's just a matter of just, yeah, I've done this design. You just need to pick the style, pick the style, pick the style. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like your soft skills as a designer comes into play a lot. You need to be vocal. Don't be timid.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're timid from the start, I made that mistake earlier in my career. If you're timid from the start, nobody
really rates you.
You might be a good designer. They might see that you're a good designer, but
you don't know how to communicate.
Exactly. So nobody will really rate you.
Yeah.
So you need to be vocal. Let them know this is what's up. You might offend people. Oh yeah, me, I offend people all the time. I know me. I know I offend them. But again, I don't attack anybody's personality. Like I'm not attacking you as a human being. I'm just talking about the work.
Yeah.
Right, so you need to be vocal, let them trust you, and let your technical skills back it.
Back it, yeah.
It's not like you're just being vocal, but vocal, so don't be like them Twitter people.
So,
and don't be vocal, but vocal, like your technical skills back it. But a lot of the things that will make you successful in any role, a lot of it is soft skills.
Yeah, I wanted to do a follow up question on what you just said, mm-hmm. right? So, in terms of okay, now you have stakeholder buy in,
mm-hmm.
you need to start a project like design system mm-hmm. projects. Do you have like a process you follow and you know that, okay, this process cuts across, but wherever I find myself in, I know when it's time to start, this is what I need to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you get it? So do you have like a process that you know?
Of building design systems.
Yeah, of building design systems, or it depends on the company you are in.
Yeah, I mean, as designers, you already know that every context is different. But I think the process I follow typically is I first need to make an audit of what's we have,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. that's when I'll know what we have and what I need to design.
True.
Right, so I start with that audit. And then I also, in that audit, you make a list, like in a sheet,
mm-hmm.
of all the components and the styles that you need. Right, so you can start from there. If it's buttons, chips, text styles, color styles, like menu navigation, like all these, make a list, then you can indicate what you have. Oh, I wish I brought my laptop, but it can indicate what you have, what you do not have, and if you actually need it.
Yeah.
Right? Because, startup is different. Startups, you can't build everything. Even in a large company, you can't build everything.
True.
So once I make that audit, I make that list, I know, okay, this is what we have. Maybe we have this, we don't necessarily need to improve it, or we have this, but we can improve it.
Okay.
And this is what we do not have at all, so we need to build it from scratch. Yeah. And if you have it, what that does is that it means there's the code there already.
Yeah.
That is if the company had a design system.
Yeah.
But if they do not have, then can forget about the code base and let them build everything from scratch.
Yeah.
But once you make the audits, you notice what you have, you start your design and keep communicating with the devs and see, okay, this is what I have. What do you think? Do you mm-hmm. think this is feasible and all that? And you also sometimes need to create something called a source of truth.
Mm-hmm.
But this is if like the company you joined already had like an established product.
Okay.
So the source of truth is basically like a Figma representation of what you have in production.
Production.
right? And that is where you apply all these new styles you're testing.
So, yeah.
So you see how it looks.
You can see how, yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, I think that is like, I'm pretty sure I've forgotten a lot of things. Yeah. But those things, it comes as you go. The more you work in it, you understand the people you're working with, and then you know how to navigate. But the standard ones, create an audit, make an audit, create a list of the components you need. If there is already established products, have create a source of truth if there's time. And then put in these new components and styles in there. So you can present to the team, oh, this is how it looks. This is how this new button looks. What do you think? And all that. And so you can spot if there's something wrong, spot it in the Figma, and then change it.
Yeah.
And then once you're done, you can just push to a dev so you can implement it.
So with the source of truth, there's a workaround, right?
Yeah.
For me,
mm-hmm.
especially if I don't have like the products in Figma, like everything in Figma. Mm-hmm. What I do is I do a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
I have like screenshots.
Yeah,
whatever I need to change on that particular screen, mm-hmm. I just build it out. So like a screenshot with some mm-hmm. part of the device.
Yeah,
that's how normally I go about it. Especially
mm-hmm.
if you notice you, because I'm still working on the design system because mm-hmm. like I said, definitely they are working on stuff and sometimes the prioritization and all that. So right now, what I'm doing on my like end is to know, okay, when I need to do a screenshot and when I need to do a design.
Let me give you, since you're talking about productivity and fast ways to do things. So there's this Figma plugin called HTML to Design. So if you want like to pull the like whatever website it is mm-hmm. in production to your Figma, you just run that plugin, enter the URL.
It'll
bring you everything basically in your Figma so you can edit it instead of using a screenshot.
Yeah.
So also, that's one thing.
Sorry. So I wanted to touch because mine is WordPress, right? So I tried doing that thing, like using that plugin. I thought it would work, but then it didn't work because for some reason WordPress restrictions when it comes to
you enter the login, the URL into the Figma plugin.
Exactly.
Yeah, they have a Chrome extension.
Mm-hmm.
So that Chrome extension, whatever you're seeing in your web browser,
mm-hmm.
it will download that as a file that you can run to import in the plugin. So you go if you try that one.
Oh, okay.
What was the name again?
HTML to Design, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, just search for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think he has answered your question. The first one has to do with communication and taking mm-hmm. your soft skills very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one about... What was the second question?
So it's about,
systems.
So you do an audit, you mm-hmm. make a list, and then
get
a source of truth. Interesting. Now, still on that topic, right? I think one thing that's usually still about communication and all that, how to go about revision and iterations, right? Because definitely there'll be feedbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you handle that? Maybe you make a design. You can still use design system as an example. You make a component. Feedback comes in. How do you... And I think that maybe the one major answer would be, okay, it depends on how you communicate. Like you were saying, as a designer, you don't need to be timid. You need to back whatever you're saying with, you know. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about feedbacks and iterations and all that? If you say, Charlie, this one, then it changed 2 minutes, like 6-7 times. What do you do? At what point do you say, Charlie, it's okay? Or do you have a way to convince them that, oh no, this one?
Because,
you know, I mean, definitely if let's say the iterations are taking time,
mm-hmm.
maybe 8 iterations, and maybe the third one would have worked. This is time spent,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you communicate so that all these things, you know, no go rise up, then you can just move faster as a designer and a team, or maybe the team can also move faster.
Yeah, I think for me, it's sharing your work early and often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work...
Don't wait.
Every episode, I think, but what's up?
Continue.
Hey, put this one inside. Don't wait to finish like whatever it is you're doing and say, oh, I want to wrap up this album. Yeah, mm-hmm. share your work early and often. Just initially, especially if you're a new person in the team. Right? Because, naturally, if you're a new person, people have their eyes on you.
Yeah.
Naturally, whether they even are aware of it or not, they have their eyes on you. They want to see if you're actually good. So, yeah, you need to create that bond and let them trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So, share your work early and often. Don't wait. Even if you feel like it's too much, it's better for you to worry them and they feel like, oh, you're saying it too much. For them to wonder, where is this guy? What work are you doing? Right. So share your work early and often.
I think.
And get quick feedback.
Yeah. There was something you said one time. I don't know if it was on the podcast. You were like, always involve the stakeholders early.
Exactly.
And funny enough, that was something I was doing, but I thought, like you said, you're stressing them. Charlie, the person has other things to do. So just finish it. And then now. So I started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I started involving the stakeholders, even the product manager, like at a very early stage. Then what will happen is that the revisions are less because now it's like they are part of whatever was being done. So then when it gets to the point where you are showing to developers and other people, they're also helping you defend it.
Exactly.
Because they feel like their ideas are part. So I tried it and it worked. So I think that point is very, very, involve them very early.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
I don't think I mentioned it on a podcast. It was when we met that guy at Cromwell.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's this thing called IKEA effect. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, loosely translates to this. So yeah, share your work with whoever is involved. The stakeholders can be different. It doesn't necessarily have to be management or PM. It can be the developer, right? So share your work with them. And what that does is, if it's a developer, if you share your work with them early, you can point out what is feasible, what is not.
Mm-hmm.
If you share your work early with them, they know that, you are just bouncing off ideas. So they can even give you
some ways
like getting it done, or better ways of getting it done. Instead of you waiting and bringing it to them, this guy, the mad or something. Who do you expect to be with this? Like, that's when you get a lot of pushback, because they weren't even part of the process.
That's true.
The IKEA effect is basically like when you go buy something at IKEA, you build it yourself. And so people who use IKEA product, they have like this
attachment
to it, because they know it was part. Like if you go cook, that's what really business you go chop.
Yeah. Oh,
it's yeah. So like that's the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
So if you share with them and they contribute, and then it goes to like review, and someone is bashing, they'll help you out.
Yeah.
But they know their idea is also part. So if as long as you just use their bash, they will feel some way. But if you just hide in your corner and feel like you want to blow their minds and go and shoot, you will see. If you don't speak out,
you will see. I think that's very, very true. And like you said, it's not just the stakeholders, it can be developers too. And most of the times, when you share whatever you started working on with, like you said, they have some ideas already. So they will feel just add to what you've already started, let you know that, maybe this thing you've added here will probably not be feasible because maybe the timeline is short and all that. That's a very good point. Would you add something else? All right. Actuations, feedback.
This guy just laughed.
Didn't know you're happy. But I don't know what to make an add on this because it's basically you involving them.
Mm-hmm.
I also like fall victim of sometimes designing in your own corner.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on presenting it, because for you think you have
the skill, when you
need everything sorted out, right? But then sometimes it goes out, you are presenting, and they be like, nah, you need to make this change, blah, blah, blah. So right now, it's what's working for me is, we have like a PM now, so she kind of also helps with that, where she involves everyone in the initial stage. So before even the PRD comes out, like the requirements and everything, everyone has contributed. So we kind of have like a direction, like the priority, what we need to prioritize and all that. So when I'm designing, everyone agrees that, whatever I'm putting, it's already agreed on. You get it. So that kind of also helps. And what I also do, aside having that, I also make sure that I involve the devs too. So the devs, maybe currently we have like a lead dev, and also like the manager, right? Manager of development. So sometimes I involve them. This is what I'm doing. What do you think about it? So even before I'm done with everything and later on present to the actual devs that work on it, you notice that I have like less iterations like over there, right? Where Charlie, you know, now they can't show, do this, do that. And when it comes to defending, I think when you have those initial stages sorted out, like you agreeing on a particular direction, when you are defending, it kind of helps you because you use that as
to defend yourself.
If you don't have a direction sorted and you are trying to go with a direction that you think might work, definitely there will be pushbacks because a stakeholder somewhere will be like, no, I want this one. Do you get it?
True.
And also, I feel like you need to also communicate, have like their lingo in a way.
Understand what they want.
Yes. Because sometimes if you talk in designer terms, like they don't really, like design terms, they don't really understand. So if it's about, why you chose this color and blah, blah, blah. For them, maybe revenue is important. So you speaking to someone that always thinks like revenue is important, you speaking to a marketing manager, sales team, support rep, they have the way they understand value, right? So for you to communicate that value to them, you need to understand where they come from. So if it's from a support or a customer rep, right? You know their priorities, like the users. So if you are doing anything that doesn't, for them, it doesn't feel connected to the user problem, definitely there will be that pushback. So what I try to do is make sure I understand everyone on that basis. And when I'm presenting, I speak in their language so that everyone gets it. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think, I mean, everything cuts across collaboration, communication. I mean, reducing the number of iterations you go through. Just have about understanding who you are working with. Mm-hmm. And I think Sam made a point that the language developers understand is different from what stakeholders understand. It's different from, if it's a designer to designer, you can be speaking your language, talking about colors and what is fancy and all that.
Yeah.
Developers.
If I'm speaking, I barely speak in design terms.
Yeah.
So me, if you ask me, I always say, if you come to me and talk to me like, design voice, proper design with me. You go,
oh, I know.
You think I don't know anything?
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know. But hey, it's all about understanding who you are working with and then communicating very well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so speeding your workflow. All these things, me, I've come like this iteration thing. The day Sam said it's right, I was like, this is very, very interesting. So let me just try it. Because I was dealing with, I was like, and funny enough, recently I spoke to my CTO. We had a review call. And then we're talking about one thing he can do better, one thing he does best. And I'm like, oh, I don't think he has any problems. Like, I mean, they were like, oh, he has noticed one problem about himself. And the problem is that he wants to relate more with the employees, have more calls with them. And I was like, oh, so in my mind, me thinking I was disturbing them with this and this and this, you know, so they have that time. So just involve them in the process at a very beginning stage. Any advice, I mean, you are wrapping up, any advice you give to somebody in terms of workflow and all that? I think one thing you mentioned just to start was just understand where you are.
Mm-hmm.
What you started and all that, understand your process, and because from how we spoke, you realize that we don't have the same process, everybody works different. Yeah, it's discipline. I'm doing everything in Figma along,
yeah,
maybe you understand.
Mm-hmm.
This one is doing the design system, he does audits, does documents, everybody and how they're going to. Do you have any advice for somebody who's not starting? Because I've had times people come and text you, oh, how you did? I don't have, because like you work, you have the experience, and then like. Mm-hmm. It just comes with it, you understand? You don't go financially sit somebody down and show the person that do this. Is there anything you just like to touch on that particular part? Anything you would like to add before we wrap up? Or then I have one question. One question I know someone will like, but yeah.
Oh, really? This advice. Hey, where do you see the court? this advice, every time I hear it, it's funny me. Like, if I be talking, don't pick any advice from one minute. Let me what are they come talk now.
No, you don't have it.
See, if you want advice, just go back. Go back and
listen to that.
I mean, everybody has their process. So
yeah.
If you are, I think our main target audience are like beginners and junior level and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you are the credentials. But yeah, just don't be comfortable with making mistakes. I mean, that's what I can tell you.
Try things.
Try things, because that's the only way you find out what works for you. Right? Be comfortable with making mistakes. And it comes with experience. Don't expect to be as skilled as someone who is much like more up there in your team. Mm-hmm. Let's see what you can pick from them, but be comfortable trying things out yourself and making mistakes, because that's how you can find your rhythm and what works for you. And then once it works for you, you know, oh my, this is what works for me. This guy, what he's doing is cool, but this is what works for me.
I mean, I've spoken to people, and when I started asking a lot of questions, I thought there was one way to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end of the day, they came and realized that, everybody then,
mm-hmm.
even in thinking, everybody, you know, does it different. We're not working with this guy. I've been amazed 2 weeks. Because it's like, how I'm thinking, and we are both designers. And at the end of the day, we are getting the thing done. But then we realized that Obian and Ajin, everybody and they are thinking and their practice or whatever they've learned in the past that they are not applying.
Yeah.
Would you like to add anything, or you want to say, how do you call it? They should go back and go.
for me, it's all about context. Because probably where I started from and the company I worked in and all that might influence the way I might probably advise you, right? Sure. Or tell you about how to go about things, okay? So for someone that, like for Sam, he has worked on design systems a couple of times, right? And probably the challenges he faced in the company might not necessarily that's the same challenge I would face. Mm-hmm. So probably that advice probably he would give me would not really relate to me because I'm in a different like context. Do you get it? So I believe you need to understand your situation and figure things out on your own. Like definitely the learning there, you go learn up, right? You can't jump from A to C mm-hmm. all of a sudden, right? And
I think it's not the story. Okay,
you talk to Al like you drink coke.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god.
Hey, guys. Sorry, why? Oh, yeah, I said more. Hold up, kid. Listen, you're not finished here.
It's so crazy.
This is my train of thought.
No, you finish.
Then I finish it. Yeah. Then I think I say, I get more talk. This guy. So, make a, you know, that.
Yeah, I mean, one other thing too, we make mistakes even right now. Yeah. So, yeah, don't feel bad about it, especially if you're presenting. I feel like that's where a lot of beginners are very scared of. Like they're presenting to stakeholders. They're presenting to stakeholders, right? They are very, they want everything to be perfect. Like, if you make a mistake, just laugh about it. Like, just look at what we are doing right now. Like, you make a lot of mistakes. I don't know if you put in, but you make a mistake, just laugh about it and go. Mm-hmm. It's not that deep. You won't die. You won't get fired. Like, yeah, you won't die. Nobody will kill you. Nobody even cares. After the meeting, everybody forgets about
it. Talk to you, they know we'll get them fired. Don't take this advice.
I made the mistake. Go cost the company millions of dollars.
Yeah,
your way out. But if like, for example, this something happens a lot. Like if you are presenting and you misclick something and something like opens on your screen and you are like, people panic.
Oh, no, it's normal.
Just laugh about it. If it's something serious, like for example, if a girl is calling you, this has happened before, I've seen it. Just laugh about it. Make a joke about it. Because everybody has seen it. So the more you try to be silent about it, it's going to be more awkward.
I don't try,
just laugh about it and move on. You'll be fine. That's last.
And also ask a lot of questions. You see people, they shy when it comes to asking questions. They feel if you ask questions, it means you don't know your stuff. Yeah, but I believe if you ask a lot of questions, it helps solve like so many issues with feedback and all that. Because then I'm saying A, but I might not necessarily mean do A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So by asking questions, like especially with stakeholders, right? It could be developers because developers could be stakeholders. Yeah. Sometimes they might be saying something, and you realize that okay, per what they said, you understood it this way. You go and do it, you present it, like, nah, that's not what I meant.
Especially in a company where the people speak different languages.
Yes.
Everybody, they are phrasing their English differently, so you have to...
So you need to ask questions, make sure you guys are aligned on, okay, the direction. Because normally media, when you tell me I need to do it this way, I'll ask you why. Yes, like, why should I do it this way, right? Give me your reasons why I think this is... Because me too, I'll give you reasons why I think this would work, right? So... If you are presenting anything, they are giving you feedback, ask them a lot of questions so that at least when you know it's time for another presentation, you know that, yeah, you're on the right track or, yeah, you're on the same, like, wavelength with them. So ask questions.
Okay, add on this one real quick.
Don't worry. Close. No, you can add it.
Yeah, so the reason why asking questions is important, right? So let's think ahead years ago. I think it makes sense in this scenario. So, for example, back in the days before cars were invented, right, if you had asked anybody what they wanted, they would probably have told you they wanted faster horses, right? Mm-hmm. But if you, and for example, like if stakeholders tell you that they want faster horses, that might not necessarily be what they actually want. The core problem they are trying to solve is to be able to move from point A to point B very fast. So then it's up to you to figure out, okay, this obviously, unless you go give them steroids or something, it's obviously not going to be possible. So how can we get them like from this point to this point much faster, right? So yeah, ask questions, get the clarity you need, and you are good to go. I think that's one of the things that I picked up from one of my former bosses. if he's watching this, he probably know himself. But yeah.
Yeah, thank you for
clarity.
That. Shout out. All right, guys. So that's it for this episode. But I mean, funny enough, the next segment, which is the
trending.
Yeah, the trending topic and all that is still related to what we are talking about. That is the designers and developers collaboration. Yeah. So Hinson,
yeah, please. How do we go? The space and things.
Yeah, Hinson, take us through.
So I think was it last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Last week. I think so. But then there was this trend on Twitter where there was this clash between devs and designers.
Mm-hmm.
Designers were like, if you are working on a design, you present it to the dev and they are like, nah, this one they can't do, then it's probably a skill problem. So the devs can't really build it. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. That's why they are always complaining, because you have people, companies building out wild designs, animations.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you have people here, and like, when you do some small animation, like, hey, I can't do this, right? And the devs too are like, the designers don't understand them, because sometimes they do some animations that doesn't really make sense. Like, why do you need this animation? So there was this back and forth, and we even had like a space on this topic about how to go about things. And yeah, I was hoping like we could just briefly touch about your experience, how you go about your collaboration with devs, and yeah, we can.
Well, me personally, I've not faced that issue before. Maybe because I don't really crazy today. Yesterday, I saw this toggle on LinkedIn. Me self as a designer, self, I was sad. This is how the toggle works, you know, on and off, right? To turn it on, there's a hand that comes from this side and pulls the circle.
Wow,
then to turn it off, the hand comes from the other side. It was beautiful, right? But I will look for the video for you. Like the lady, actually, it was a lady. She built the hand. So you tap on it, then the hand goes, picks the toggle, and then comes and drops. And it was beautiful to look at. But then I went to read the comments. You have people saying, oh, this is nice, but then how is it going to be like in development? Oh, this is nice, but how long is it going to take developers? Oh, this is nice, but is it very, very, very important? I haven't faced that issue before, but I mean, I feel like it depends. Because like we were saying, we have companies that are doing those crazy stuff. And the last time it came to my place, remember we were looking at this website. What was it? That animation website you showed me. The one you wanted to learn. You wanted to learn it, don't forget.
Learn it.
Yes, it's an animation website for designers. You remember the name? When we click on the button and we're leaving that side, there was a hand that stretched from the button.
True. So it was get started. So it was on the top right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you hover over it, you see
a hand waving. This
hand waving. Like, yeah, it's more like, yeah, click on it. Mm-hmm. But immediately you move your mouse and you are like scrolling down. The hand will try like, it's like pulling you back.
Yeah. I was surprised. And there was another button on the hero section where when you hover over it, it kind of builds like a house. I think a rocket. Animation. And the purpose of the website was something that UX and product designers can use to do like this Loti animation.
Yeah,
sort of
it's
thing.
Right.
Those little. So that it makes sense. Exactly my point. So then that animation on a website like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if you are building a product where that thing doesn't make sense and they don't want to build it. Like I said, I've not faced that issue before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not good. Maybe, but there are times where you build something and develop it. Okay, this is not feasible in this time period.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, understandable. There's always an alternative.
Right.
But then, like I said, it depends on what product you are building. Right? Can use something complex like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a product that does not need that kind of animation, because trust me, the animation is a lot. Especially that button one, building a whole rocket and all that. You understand? So, I feel like it depends. And it's not necessarily always a skill problem. Maybe the developers, will sometimes they don't communicate well with. That developer designer fight, they go continuous.
I faced it before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's definitely not a skill problem.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, again, what we said about communicating with the people to see what's feasible and everything. So you get the ideas on maybe there's a better way to do it. Or maybe, again, the time constraints and everything. So they can do this, but it will take a longer time. And you could probably achieve what you want to achieve using another route. Right. So, I've faced it before. I think one of the best front-end developers I know, Kwame Mensah. Shout out to him. He's a guy, like, he's the typical front-end guy. He will see you do some wild things, like, ah, do them. I go build them. And some instances too, when you bring it, it's like, ah, now you, this thing, like, ah, we can do it this way. Why are you doing this? We can do it this way. Like, so it's definitely, and I'm saying because I've worked with him for, like, a couple of years. So I know his skill very well. He's, like, a very, very good front-end dev. So obviously, it's not a skill problem because he sometimes he sees me do some wild things and he said, I don't want to, like, do like this thing I'm doing on the side. So, ah, Charlie, why are you going to do this thing for when I project inside? Right. So it's definitely not a skill problem. The people who can do it will do it. But again, you need to. Designers, we have this issue. I don't know if it's just a beginner problem or a lot of designers. Like, they are too focused on
what
we are doing in Figma.
Yeah.
Like, they are too attached to it. Like, feel like anything we do.
For do.
Everybody else for do.
Yeah.
Remember that a product isn't built, it's not just about design.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are like various steps to shaping a product. And if your product is not shipped, whatever you are doing, you know, it makes sense. Like, you've done it, so what? Have you been able to ship products? You may get likes on Twitter, you may get likes on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are looking for rules and things that will actually pay you, what do you have to show for it? Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, a lot of hiring managers don't care about, you may have the design skills, but it takes a lot more of it than just that to be able to like build successful products. And that's what people want. So again, you need to see the people you're working with. Again, know their capabilities and also know other things. That's why you need to be able to think like a PM sometimes. Speak to the PM. Know the time constraints on the project you're running, the sprint. Like, know all these things. And that will help you know how to approach a project.
Yeah.
The fight, it will always be there. But if you know how to go about it, because I don't even remember the last time I had a fight with a dev.
Mm-hmm.
Aside the usual, oh, this thing is not working as it should be. That one always come. Mm-hmm. So just go change it. They go change it. But say, I've done this and this person is not doing this right. And like going back and forth, it's been a while. You just need to figure out a way. And know your team members.
I'll be a devil's advocate on this one because I feel it's a matter of expertise. Because if a company like Stripe contacts you as a designer to design their website for them or redesign their website, definitely to wow them, you need that wow factor, right? And definitely that means you need to do some animations because currently they have animations going on. And if you reach out to a dev that says they can't do this, obviously that would be a big blow to the project. So what I do is I make sure I reach out to people that like have that expertise to work on. Right, that project together with, because at the end it solves that back and forth. Like you said, sometimes you do some wild stuff and the guy will be like, yeah, do them more. Like you get, sometimes they give you that motivation to even go out, because as designers, if you are given that like liberty to actually like be creative,
you go out.
Yes. So you have that factor in there where I feel, okay, now it'd be a matter of expertise, because definitely some devs go fit do like certain designs, like they can actually implement them, and others they can't. It's simple. If you can do it, just say you can do it. If you can't, just say, because at the end, then they pay you based on that execution. So if you can't do them, why waste their time and do something like below par? Do you get it? So
I feel like if you're a freelancer, great, and you have the liberty as a developer to write whichever code or use any tech stack you use. You want. But in a company setting, sometimes it depends on the tech stack the company uses. Because the person might be able to do this, but their company doesn't really use that particular language or whatever. So they will have to get buy-in from maybe their engineering lead or something. And it's not as easy because, you might be able to write it, but nobody else writes it. So what if you're not available? Who's going to manage or maintain that? So sometimes... that can be a factor too, because I've heard that before. Right, so don't blame the developers too much, but if it's a freelance setting and still then
what's the wrap-up? People should watch the video I was talking about.
For send, make them play on here.
Yeah, just hit the play. So you see.
Oh, this one, if you do one in frame.
You go need that more, you go do it.
I just need to find the assets.
I think she added it.
But if I see any website, I'm very confident.
All right, guys. So, speeding up your workflow.
Send this to them right now.
I'll send the link. I'll copy it. Speeding up your workflow and then the whole, I mean, they can continue the conversation in the comment section, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Developers, designers. I'm person who can't talk. That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah. Book of boxing arena. Who sponsor?
Do you know the funny thing? The day I was reading on Twitter, I was like, this is
what we're open rank, Charlie. Right.
So, yeah, you can continue in the comment section if you're a designer. Kawajin, developer, Kawajin, Otongo, Kawajin.
We don't forget PMs.
If you if,
leave them for another day.
We'll talk about them. If you don't understand the tree, we'll see you the next time. All right, guys. See you in our next episode.
Gangshi.
Yeah, for
what?
Hey.
The song.
Why
are you talking about the introduction? Bye-bye.